The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Raising his eyes toward his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude and insult you, and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, you will receive your consolation. But woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you. For their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way." The Gospel of the Lord. Today the Church celebrates one of the most eloquent doctors of the Church, Eastern doctor of the Church, whose name is St. John Chrysostom. And it means golden mouth. That's what it means from the Greek. Golden mouth. Just one idea that we prayed over at the beginning of the Mass. And we prayed to imitate his invincible patience. I think we can all grow in patience, right? Invincible patience. So we should be praying that we're patient with God in our lives, patient with others, and patient with ourselves. So that's one prayer. We'll offer in honor of this great saint who was a man who suffered very much, had to practice a lot of patience, but was one of the greatest preachers and teachers in the Catholic Church, St. John Chrysostom. First reading, Paul says to seek the things above. Jesus puts it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be given you besides. In interpretation of that, always have your mind fixed on why you're here. You're here in this world, very short time, for one purpose. You're here to get to heaven. Amen? It's clear as that. That's what Paul is saying. Seek what is above. What is above is heaven. Now, if we really long for heaven, then that's going to give us the grace to be patient with the trials of this life. Because life is short. Very short. As the psalmist points out, our life is like the flower of the field that raises its head in the morning and withers and dies as the sun goes down. St. Augustine goes on to say that our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. A mere blink of the eye is our life in comparison with eternity. So never forget why you're here. You're here to make it to heaven. The responsorial psalm, the Lord is compassionate The word compassion is a compound word that comes from Latin, cum passio. And it means a willingness to suffer with others. Tomorrow we celebrate the exaltation of the Holy Cross. Friday we celebrate Our Lady of Sorrows. Mary, who stood underneath the cross, is the model of compassion. But if we've received God's compassion, then it's incumbent upon us to try to be compassionate toward others. When others suffer, try to help that person by a prayer, by a smile, by a good word, by a word of encouragement. As Paul says, God has encouraged us, so we're called also to encourage others. The gospel today is, you have what are called the Beatitudes in Matthew, the 8 Beatitudes, but here we have the corresponding Beatitudes in Luke, which is a little bit different. Because with the Beatitudes in Luke, you have the corresponding woes, the woes, the woes. Jesus says, blessed are those who are poor. How countercultural is that? How against the grain? How nonsensical for most Americans? Blessed are the poor. That's crazy. But Jesus said it. If Jesus said it, it's the truth. Look at the life of Christ. Where was he born? Fulton Sheen says the creator of the universe had nowhere to be born in his own creation. How eloquent Sheen always is, right? The creator of the universe had nowhere to be born in his own creation. Fulton Sheen says that Jesus should be the patron of the cavemen, huh? There he was in the cave. What type of work? Humble carpenter. Now once he enters into his public life, talk about poverty. Probably some of us have maybe slept in our car overnight, or those people in Orlando and Florida, they're sleeping in, you know, one of those stadiums or some type of shelter. But by now, most of them are probably already returned to their homes in Florida. It's tough. Where did Jesus live from 30 to 33 years of age? Did he have a permanent abode in Bethany? How about Galilee? Itinerant preacher. How about Nazareth? He left Mary at 30. How about Jerusalem? He would come and go. How about Samaria? He would go through Samaria. So, for 3 years, Jesus had no home. You ever see these homeless walking through the streets? Jesus was one of them, one of the homeless. But total trust in God. Jesus said, look at the lilies of the field. Look at the birds of the air. Lilies of the field, more beautiful than Solomon in all of his array. Look at the birds of the air. Have you ever wondered if a bird was flying extra fast because he was flying to visit a psychologist? I doubt it. You think the birds get up in the morning, they're worrying about what they're going to eat? I don't think so. So if God provides for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, how much more each and every one of us. You know that your soul is worth more than the whole created universe? Did you know that? So put the whole created universe together. Your soul is much more important than that. So if God is going to provide for birds and animals and flowers and the fields, won't He watch over us? I think that we all have trust issues. I do, and so do you. I think sometimes we don't trust, right? I think sometimes we doubt. And doubting is a lack of trust in God's divine providence. So how does Jesus end His life? Blessed are the poor. Basically, His clothes are taken off. He's scourged. He's hanging on the cross. And sometimes when things don't seem to go our way, or it seems that people don't collaborate with us, Jesus would preach sometimes to 10,000 people. Fulton Sheen points out, He preaches His last and most eloquent homily from the pulpit of the cross. Who was there at the foot of the cross at the very end of His life? Only 3 people. An ex-prostitute, Mary Magdalene, his best friend, St. John the Evangelist, and his faithful mother, Our Lady of Sorrows. Only 3 were left at the very end of His life. So when it seems as if life doesn't seem to make sense, seems as if our life is falling apart, seems as if life is not going according to our standard of the way it should be going, we have to look at Christ. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And you know, I've thought about this many times. The richest person in the world and the poorest person in the world is going to end up in the same place. 6 feet beneath the ground. Nadi siskapa. The richest person in the world and the poorest person in the world is going to end up in the same place. 6 feet beneath the ground. I have never in my life seen a U-Haul van following a funeral hearse. I've never seen that yet. Have you? Have you? You're never going to see that. So we should try to be rich. Not so much in the things of the world, because everything passes. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. It's not rooted in God. Vanity of vanities. But I'd like to introduce you to the richest people in the world right now. If I had my phone, I'd be able to take a wonderful picture of all you people and post it on Facebook and say, this is the richest group of people in the world. Because in a very short time, you're going to receive Holy Communion, right? Is that true? You are the richest people in the whole universe, because when you receive Holy Communion, you'll receive God. And he who has God has everything. Amen.